This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all, good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating American lover, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Doing great, Vito. It is good to be here as always. How are you?
I am doing well. Doing well. I have a new brand of espresso that I'm trying out. So it's from Miami, and it's pretty strong. Woo.
What brand is that?
La Carilla. You know what? I don't remember. La Caracha.
Something Spanish.
La Cucaracha. No, it's, yeah, something Cuban. But it's good. It's got a little kick to it. My own. Ooh. So if I talk a little fast tonight, that could be the reason why.
That's maybe. One thing the Cubans did get right is coffee and cigars.
Well, hey, the cigars, man. Oh, they are. You know it, man. The cigars, the Cuban cigars are some of the best. I will say that. They got a flavor to them, right?
Yeah, certain unique, but I'm not going to pay $25 a stick. Screw that. I'm going to get something Nicaraguan just as good and screw the commie bastards.
That's
screw
right.
Screw their cigars.
Well, speaking of communists, well, actually, this was a socialist. Last week, Walter Fritz Mondale passed away at the age of 93. I didn't realize he was that old. Mondale served in the United States Senate from 1964 to 1976 for the state of Minnesota. That would be the Viking land. Then he served as VP from 1977 to 1981 for the peanut farmer. He unsuccessfully ran for president of the United States in 1984, getting trounced by President Ronald Reagan. Reagan won 49 states, and actually Mondale carried his home state of Minnesota and the left-wing District of Columbia. He unsuccessfully ran with Geraldine Ferraro, representative from New York, the first female vice presidential nominee. Mondale was born in Ceylon, Minnesota, graduated from the University of Minnesota in 1951 after attending McAllister College. He served in the United States Army during the Korean War, earned his law degree in 1956, and was Minnesota Attorney General in 1960 appointed by Governor Orville Freeman. And then in 62, he ran for the attorney generalship for a full term and won with 60% of the vote. So obviously he was well-liked by the people of Minnesota. So rest in peace, former Vice President Walter Mondale. And yesterday, over the weekend, the Australians came to play in America. The PGA Tour, Australians Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith won the Zurich Classic, an event this past weekend in New Orleans. They beat the South African team of Charles Schwartzel and Louis Oosthuizen on the first playoff hole. This was a team format, two-man team format, the only two-man team format of the year on the PGA Tour, and people like it, including the pros. And unfortunately, Oosthuizen, who is really consistent, hit his drive into the water on the first playoff hole. It was the par 5, number 18, was the first playoff hole. But they had played well, and usually Louis Oosthuizen is very steady. He made an unforced error, and the Australians took advantage of it. They parred the 18th hole in playoff, and the South Africans bogeyed it. Leishman and Smith took advantage by parring the par 5 Leishman hit a clutch chip on the 17th hole in regulation, a drivable par 4. His partner, Cameron Smith, drove the ball into the water, hit on the green side, bounced. Did you see the tournament?
No, I missed this one.
Oh, man. So they're tied going to the 17. It's a drivable par, reachable par 4, 302 yards or something. Louis Oosthuizen hits a beautiful drive. I mean, carries it 302 yards on the green. It bounces off to the back. Cameron Smith gets up, hits a shot, hits it with a high draw. It bounces in front of the green, and it bounces left, hits the side of the slope, goes in the water. Okay, so you get, oh, man, now he's got to get up and down. You know, they got to try to save par. And so he hit the drive. That means that Leishman hits the next shot, the alternate shot. Leishman chips the ball and chips it in for a birdie. And the South African team, Charles Schwartzel and Louis Oosthuizen, couldn't get the ball up and down, so they par it. Now we're tied going into 18. So it was really it was fun. It really was. It was a good tournament. So
yeah, different format, always interesting.
Yeah, yesterday, if you're a NASCAR fan, there was a race at Talladega Speedway. If you like super speedways, Talladega is it rivals Daytona. It was good. It was actually an accident filled race. As it always is in super speedways. The Geico 500 was raced at Talladega Speedway. Brad Keselowski won the crash-filled race. He outlasted the field. Joey Logano, his teammate, they have three stages. They have stage one, stage two, and then the final stage. The end of stage one with like two laps to go, Joey Logano is involved in an accident. Number 11 car, Hamill, kind of taps him a little bit. And Logano ends up going airborne, flips over, rolls the car. He was okay, though. So, that was okay. But Keselowski ended up driving his car to the number two car to victory. And there was all kinds of crashes that were ended up behind him. So if you're a NASCAR fan, it was pretty good. Enjoyable.
Yep. So the highlights, everybody loves the wrecks. And that is an accident waiting to happen. You're running four wide at 190 miles an hour.
Oh, it's cool. I mean, they had guys going everywhere, and you usually don't get a flip because with the new aerodynamics of the vehicles and the new safety precautions, but he got airborne. But they're built so well to withstand that.
Yeah, the units they put in to save the driver's necks is phenomenal. Saved a lot of lives, but you got to ask yourself, is restrictor plate racing, or has it become team racing?
I'm not a big fan of restrictor racing, but I understand it. You know, I understand why they do it, because they don't want these guys going 230 miles an hour in their cars. But they can do a lot of things, like, you know, make it a six-cylinder car and change the whole body and, like, you know, the engine style. I think it would lead to lesser accidents. Unfortunately, you know, it's a crowd draw, and there is a there is the big one in those races.
Mm-hmm. And people do love it. And you compare it to open wheel racing, and open wheel racing just does not have the fan excitement, or the fan attendance, or the money coming into it.
Not
open
in the U.S.
Wheel racing is real racing.
Yeah, in Europe, it's really, really big. Unfortunately, in the United States, it's like soccer in the United States. It just doesn't have a following. But it's fun to watch, you know. I mean, we got, you know, Memorial Day coming up, so that's the Indy 500, which would be cool to watch. So,
yep.
Hey,
All-American.
The All-American race, yeah.
An All-American sport.
That's right.
Without question.
Drink milk at the end. Winner drinks milk. That's right. Got milk. And speaking of wrecks, Al, LaJuan James, and I have to credit our friend and our Wednesday host, Hank Jones, for coining this phrase, LaJuan. That is L-E-Y, capital Y-U-A-N, Juan, you know, Chinese Juan. LaJuan James is a train wreck. That moron decided to weigh in on the shooting of the 16-year-old girl wielding a pretty long knife. It wasn't a butter knife, but it was an actual knife. She was getting ready to stab an unarmed woman. And, you know, the ironic thing in this whole thing, before the scuffle broke out, the parties, and the parties were black, okay, they called the police, and they demanded a police officer come to their home. And you know what? To the police's credit, they did. Okay? And, you know, since we're into the identity politics of this all, okay, but the knife-wielding criminal had intended to kill another black lady. And the officer is white. Okay? So, train wreck LaJuan James decides he's going to weigh in on this whole thing. Okay? You know, because it's all about racism today. If the cop is white and the perpetrator is black, there has to be racism in this whole thing. Let's not even talk about the crime that's being committed. You know, let's not talk about having an outstanding warrant for aggravated battery, you know, carrying a weapon, pointing a weapon at a police officer. You know, let's not even – resisting arrest. Let's even talk about that, because apparently now the crime doesn't matter. What matters is – if the perp is black and the cop is white, automatically it sends off racist signals in the communist United States of the offended, okay? So the officer arrives at the scene and he wants to know what's going on. And thankfully, you know, you may not like the idea of having dash cams. You may not like the idea of having cameras. But this is one time where a dash cam was worth having, okay? So the officer arrives and a scuffle breaks out. And, you know, it happened really, really quick. And I'll tell you, to give Val Demings, congresswoman from Florida, credit, I saw her on – I saw the clip of her on some TV show. I think it was Face the Nation or Meet the Depressed or something. And, you know, and apparently she was a police chief down in Orlando, Florida at one time. And she came to the officer's defense. And she said she watched the video. She watched it in live stream, because that's how you can tell what happens, okay? You know, what's the reaction of all those involved? And then she said she had the advantage today of watching it in slow motion, which was yesterday, okay? And we have the advantage to watch in slow motion. So LaJuan James decides that he's going to go after the cop who shoots this 16-year-old girl. First of all, the cop doesn't know the girl's 16 years old. What the cop sees is this individual has a weapon in her hand, a knife. She's holding it in a pattern of being in a stab pattern, an aggressive pattern, okay, that she's going to stab somebody. And there's another woman who is this perp is going after, who is unarmed. And the police officer shoots the woman armed with a knife. Imagine that. She was breaking the law, okay? Now, LaJuan decides that he's going to go to Twitter, and he tweets out, "You're next, hash brown, accountability," and a picture of the cop, okay? Now, you know, if LaJuan had any fucking brains, okay, he would have waited. And the other part is, he tweets out in all capital letters, "You're next," okay? Y-O-U-R apostrophe E, next. Now, this genius should get spell check, because that's not how you spell "your." It's Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, next, okay? So even then, it just goes to show how ignorant this ignoramus truly is. Accountability? There's no accountability for LaJuan James being a racist, an anti-law enforcement hate tweet. Okay, will there be any accountability? Yes, there is accountability in some ways, because he's being excoriated for it, and rightly so, because all LaJuan James saw was a white police officer discharging his weapon. First of all, he didn't know that that individual was 16 years old. What he saw was someone going to commit a felony. And you know what? People die from stab wounds. Just ask the French police officer who was stabbed by an Islamic jihadist last week in France. Oh, wait, you can't, because she was stabbed to death. And she died. She bled to death right at the very ground where the freaking Islamic jihadist stabbed her. But you know what? LaJuan James, though, he's got a hard-on for police officers. The BLM racist that he is, okay? The anti-American and pro-communist China, LaJuan James decides he's going to weigh in. And I'll tell you, it was at one point, you know, the guy definitely has talent for basketball. There's no doubt about it. He does. I you know what? Used to follow him when I followed him, NBA basketball. I was excited when he went to the Miami Heat. I love Chris Bosh, and I love Dwayne Wade. And of course, and I also love the GM. Okay, he was a former New York Knick. But this is getting to be absolute insanity. And even Marcellus Wiley commented and had something to say about LaJuan James weighing in on this. And Mr. Wiley is a former NFL football player. He stated, "Emotions can trump logic, and that's what's happening," Wiley said. "Your agenda can't go before your acumen. You can't pander before your principles." And he absolutely nailed LaJuan James and his attitude towards that situation that arose. Because, you know, not every situation in America is racist when a police officer is involved. Very, very few instances are racist when a police officer gets involved. And, you know, why are we discounting and allowing these anti-law enforcement individuals, these anti-Americans, why are we allowing them to dictate the agenda? Someone's committing a crime. What is the crime? What was the result of committing that crime? What are the actions that caused this police officer to protect his or herself or protect the community? Now, we have seen videos where police have stepped out, definitely have stepped out outside of that line, and they should be held accountable for their actions. But that's few and far between. And this is what... This is herein lies the problem with the left-wing anti-constitutionalist. Emotion trumps logic.
Well, let's take a look at LeBron James's emotional state. He said after the tweet went out, and explaining his intentions, LeBron James wrote, quote, "I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. This isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system, and they always use our words to create more racism. I'm so desperate for more accountability and full caps."
I'm
about adding gasoline to a fire. That is what is inside the mind of one LeBron James. who is a racist piece of flotsam. Flotsam, if you're unaware, is the blue ice that comes out of a jet toilet as they're flying at 30,000 feet.
Yeah. So what about, honest to goodness, though, what about the people committing the crime? You know, as if the police are arbitrarily, you know, picking out this black person, okay? This woman, this girl, this lady, this black woman was committing a crime. And you know something? The police officer should be lauded for saving the lives of at least one individual who was about to be attacked and stabbed by a deranged individual carrying a knife, wielding a knife, using the knife as a weapon. You know, at what point do we look and say, you know, why doesn't LaJuan James go out there and say, hey, stop committing crimes? To my black brothers and sisters, stop committing crimes. If you pull a gun on a police officer, if you pull a weapon on a police officer, and you intend to shoot the police officer, the officer's going to shoot back. You know, where's the outrage, you know, when a highway patrolman pulls over a vehicle and you watch in horror at that dash cam where the individual he pulls over gets out of the car, brandishing a weapon, and starts shooting at the police officer just for the hell of it. That's okay? Or the two cops, Lou and Sanchez or Ramos, were sitting in their vehicle, their marked vehicle in New York City, and were assassinated by a black man who walked up to the car and just fired into the vehicle, and all the police officers were doing was protecting the community. They were just sitting there. Aren't you tired of police officers being assassinated for wearing wearing blue, wearing a shield? I mean, this is absolute insanity.
And I'm tired of Maxine Waters running her mouth, Representative Maxine Waters running her mouth, demanding or calling for more confrontation, and next thing you know, shots fired at National Guardsmen, two injured.
Yeah.
Not 24 hours later.
Hey, where's the accountability there? Oh, you know, she meant it. And then again, you've got Nancy Pelosi, that other communist pig who comes to the witless Waters defense and says, well, she said it I just lost my train of thought. She said it in an activist way. Okay. Right. Okay. And then how do you misinterpret President Trump's remarks? Now walk peacefully to the Capitol. That there's nothing in there about confrontation. There's no marching for civil rights in that.
Mm-hmm. And the Democrats are calling for a full-blown investigation, The Republicans are saying, well, if you're going to call an investigation for the Capitol, what happened at the Capitol, you better sure as hell call it for all the other Black Lives Matter attacks on federal property, which seems to be
right.
Unimportant because you don't give a you don't care about it. It's not even newsworthy, much less congressional investigation. You're going to do one, you're going to do them all, and I respect McCarthy for standing up for it, how hard he stands up for it. I'm on the fence, but I hope he has the balls to continue with it and continue with the tough talk.
Well,
for example, President Trump released a statement. He called King James, he called LeBron James, quote, a racist. He did not mince words. He said exactly what it is.
And he should have.
People got to understand. Law enforcement officers, they do not make the laws. Their job, sole job, is to enforce the laws written by our politicians. They enforce the law. Once they have a perp in custody, they hand them off to the legal system, and then they go on to their next call. So all this hatred for the cops is really just, it's cover for something bigger and deeper and more sinister. It's about destroying the rule of law in the United States of America and tearing the fabric of our culture apart piece by piece, because if we the people cannot go out without some sense of security, if I if I don't know that my business is going to be safe, that if I'm robbed, there's going to be police there to run an investigation to find who the thieves are. If the police disappear, or if you call the police and they don't come for 30 minutes, they're no longer enforcing the law. The law becomes weakened. Society becomes weakened, and there is a very thin line, Vito, between civil society and chaos. And we're flirting with the other side of that line more and more each and every day, and this is just another example of it, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, we're flirting with the chaos part by design, in my opinion, because as we're watching the anti-constitutionalists in Washington, D.C. are dismantling the U.S. Constitution. They've abridged all five components of the First Amendment. They are now have their sights set on the Second Amendment. They have violated the Fifth Amendment. They have violated the Tenth Amendment. I mean, this is a Democrat Party. This is a government party. This is a Washington, D.C. that's out of control. And it's all by design. Create chaos by design, and then you can suspend the Constitution. And you do it in the name of a plandemic. You do it in the name of national security, as George W. Bush did in implementing the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, and Bigfoot has a good – Bigfoot made a really good point. He said,
yep.
In the chat, he said, if the cop had not shot the girl with a knife and she stabbed the other girl, he would be accused of racism for letting it happen.
Kudos, Big. That's spot on.
Right.
Absolutely spot on.
Yeah, or if the cops didn't get there quick enough, they would have said that, oh, they didn't go because they knew black people were involved, so they didn't bother showing up. And then you have another story of black violence happening at Miami International Airport that has gone viral. Two groups of black individuals in gate 14, I think it was, they broke out into fistfights in two separate parts of the terminal. And the fighters were black. Not that that means anything, but that's what happened. And there were no police there handy to stop it. The actual people had to go in and stop. And then they waited. Actually, when I was watching the video, the fight ended more or less, and then they started going their separate ways quickly. That is chaos.
Yep. And you know, I have to read this statement that I really like Marcellus Wiley. I like his commentary, and I'll tell you, I didn't know why until I read this his commenting on LaJuan James. Wiley went on to say, LaJuan James says, I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. With that platform, how about this sentence instead of that? I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed. A little difference. Wiley said, how about this sentence? Even more idealistic. I'm so damn tired of just seeing people killed. You know, that is exactly the point. And Marcellus Wiley deserves a lot of credit for making that statement, because this is what the pollution of progressive politics has done. This is what the communist platform is doing to America. It is severing America and separating it by identity. And this is they want the LaJuan Jameses out there to react in this racist fashion. And then you have someone like Marcellus Wiley who brings it back in and actually puts it in perspective and says, I'm so damn tired of just seeing people killed. And he is so right. That is the proper statement. That's what infuriates the majority of Americans. It's not about black and white. Are you just as outraged about the white woman who was killed by a Muslim police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where she was wearing a bathrobe trying to flag down police, and she was shot to death by the police officer? Where's the outrage, okay? Where is the third degree, the second degree? Where's the manslaughter charge against that police officer, that Muslim police officer killing a white woman, okay? No, I'm just so damn tired of seeing people killed. And, you know, where are the leaders in the black community saying if you want to keep this under an identity politics, stop committing the crime. Stop. when a police officer pulls you over, brandish a gun, you don't point the gun at the police officer and expect the police officer, oh, whoops, hey, it's my bad. Go ahead, just keep going. Okay? That's not what the police officer is trained to do. And it doesn't matter if you're black or white. If you're a white and you brandish a gun and at a stop, the police officer is going to protect himself or herself, and rightly so. So why don't we start talking about the criminal aspect of things, okay? Because the fact is the police didn't seek out George Floyd. They were called to the scene because a man had passed a $20 counterfeit bill, and then he resisted arrest, okay? And then we all saw what unfolded. The issue was the police weren't seeking out a black man. And then this DeWante Wright, he didn't get killed because he was black. He resisted arrest. He assaulted an officer, and he fled the scene. Now, unfortunately, the police officer grabbed the wrong weapon. Instead of grabbing her taser, she grabbed her firearm, and she discharged it. But here we have a situation again. You have a young black man who thinks he's a thug. He's breaking the law. He has an outstanding warrant for aggravated battery and carrying an illegal weapon. Suddenly, everything comes into black and white issue again. But what prompted this whole thing? So don't commit the crime. It's very, very simple. It's very simple.
Yep.
But everybody's a victim today.
President, yeah, well... Where's our president been on all this? He comments on the Chauvin trial. He doesn't comment on this. He doesn't comment on the tweet. But luckily, our former commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, is not shy to speak his mind. In addition to calling LeBron James a racist, Trump said, quote, LeBron James should focus on basketball rather than presiding over the destruction of the NBA, which has just recorded the lowest television ratings in caps by far in the long and distinguished history of the league. His racist rants are divisive, nasty, insulting, and demeaning. He may be a great basketball player, but he's doing nothing to bring our country together.
Amen.
And that, truest words ever.
Yep.
And then with the Chauvin trial, our current commander-in-chief, he becomes the center of the, he's such an idiot. Him and Maxine Waters they're giving the defense the ability to file a petition against the verdict.
An appeal, yeah.
Because,
and you know what?
Yeah,
rightly
in fact,
so.
Yeah. Hell, there are even reports that the jurors felt that they had to have a guilty verdict or else there would be riots in the street, and they were concerned for their own safety because they weren't sequestered by the judge. So they heard even about one of the defense lawyers who left the trial and his house got spray painted and vandalized. And then you have Maxine Waters calling for more confrontation. And then you've got President Joe Biden weighing in on the trial and hoping that the jurors do, quote, the right thing.
Yeah.
The
Which
right
is, what's
thing.
That?
The right thing is a full conviction. This is the president of the United States. Yeah. Did Darren Chauvin, yeah. Did he screw up? Yeah, absolutely
yeah.
He screwed up. And coming to his defense, now they're going after the three other officers that were there now that there's blood in the water. But I sincerely do not think that Chauvin woke up that morning, said, you know what, I'm going to go kill somebody today. And then lo and behold, here comes this opportunity.
Yeah, it wasn't premeditated, for one.
No.
Oh, and then let's talk about the other thing. The state of Maryland is launching an investigation against the defense team's witness, apparently the doctor who claimed that who made the statement that the method and the fentanyl mixture, you know, had an effect and on his ability, on Floyd's ability to. So the test. Let's put it back this way. the state of Maryland now is going to launch an investigation into the defense witness who is a doctor who testified on behalf of Darren Chauvin.
I had not heard that. That's disgusting.
That
what
is
kind
disgusting.
Of signal does that send to our justice
exactly.
system?
Exactly.
If you're, if you're an expert witness, would you? I would be reluctant now to even get up on a stand for $300 or whatever they charge, and then say whatever it is you know most about because you're an expert, and then for fear of getting sued for what your determination was or is. Holy crap! What's happening?
It's incredible. The Constitution means nothing anymore to the left wing. The Constitution, you know, the right to a fair and speedy trial. That, you know, again, that's being abridged. And it's amazing. The defense gets an expert witness, and now that witness is going to be subject to an investigation by a state. And it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. This is the U.S. Constitution means nothing anymore. It means nothing. And then when you continue with the train, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go on.
Well, I was going to continue with in the thread of train wrecks. The Oscars was last night, and if anybody cared, the 33rd Academy Awards, it suffered another drop in ratings. It dropped. It showed that an average of 9.85 million viewers. It dropped 58% from the previous year, which has 13.75 million. And again, the Oscars became a politically correct anti-law enforcement racist show. In watching some clips, there was opining how the verdict from the Darren Chauvin trial. If it didn't go the right way, they'd be putting their protesting shoes on. And again, you mentioned earlier with dictator Joe Biden and his comments about the verdict going the right way. And it's like, you know, what is the right way? I mean, an accused is innocent until proven guilty. You know, the public court of appeal doesn't weigh on this. The emotion part doesn't weigh, you know, it is the jury of your peers, okay, who is given the evidence that you and me will not see, who makes this determination, and hopefully they get it right based upon the facts that they see, not the public court of opinion. And this is the sad part of it. You know, it's now become fashionable to say, well, if the Chauvin trial didn't go the right way, well, tell us, what was the right way? Why don't you just say it, okay? Why don't you just say, if those anti-police, pro-criminal racists would just say if Darren Chauvin wasn't found guilty, irrespective of the facts, they would have protested. You know, the false narrative is to paint law enforcement officers into profiling hunters. And, you know, I take exception to that false narrative. And again, George Floyd wasn't approached by police just out of the blue. They were called to the scene because he presented a counterfeit money. He stole from a merchant. That's what, you know, when you're caught giving counterfeit money to a merchant, you're stealing from them. Stealing is a crime. And when a criminal, an habitual criminal, continues to make to not obey the law and commit crimes, there are consequences for that. And not only was this career criminal passing a counterfeit bill, but he was strung out on drugs, methamphetamine and fentanyl. And now, I don't know about you, Al, I don't know too many people who use meth and fentanyl. I really don't, so I just guess I can't relate. So I must be biased. If you don't brandish a weapon and point a gun at a police officer or try to stab an officer, you're not going to be shot. It's just insane. It's pure insanity. And so the train wrecked Oscars did suffer a bit of a ratings drop, and it's going to continue because it's become nothing but a multicultural, politically correct, And this year it was an anti-law enforcement show, and I'm glad I didn't watch it.
I don't watch it anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it can be racist. I mean, Daniel Kaluuya, he was the winner for the award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role for Judas and the Black Messiah. What could be racist about that? If there's institutional racism, I don't think that would have happened. They would have the remake of White Christmas, and that would have won all the Oscars.
It wouldn't be called White Christmas, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the Chinese producer, Chloe Zhou, she made history with her win for the best director for Nomadland.
There you go.
Have you seen that?
I don't even know what Nomadland. Yeah, I don't even know what it's about.
I haven't seen it.
Oh. Yeah, I don't even know.
What is institutional racism to you? I mean, we didn't talk about this. It's kind of just off the top. What does that mean to you when someone says institutional racism?
I think it's just a lazy term. It's for the ignorant. Okay, that making something out of nothing. I mean, it's to me, it's all fictional, just like eco racism and environmental racism, and the same thing with now the new terminology that AOC is spewing. All of this is just it's a distraction, and it's just made to be a separatism. So I don't believe any of that crap, and I think it's all garbage, and I think it's intellectually lazy to be using those terms, and I think it's intentionally divisive.
Exactly. Intentionally divisive. That is what it is. It's separating us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mixed marriages now are a commonplace thing. Nobody cares about that, at least nobody in my world. I see mixed couples all the time, and I think it's great. 23andMe DNA testing shows that I have genes. People have DNA from all over the world, including Africa. Everybody's got a little bit of Africa in them, DNA-wise, some more than others. So genetically, we are a mixed primordial soup of DNA from all over the world, every country. How can that be racist if we have black blood in our DNA? It can't be. So there's something else going on here. I think what it is division.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigotry. It's separatism. And the black separatism, I think, is being all driven by Marxism.
I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, Marxism, I think this is all about the battle between communism and capitalism. And that our enemies, the Marxists and the communists, will find any type of a wedge issue to divide our country. And during the Vietnam War, they came in, and it was the anti-war movement. And that war was about stopping communist aggression in Vietnam. And it was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
America didn't lose the war. We stopped the war because of all of the protests and the riots and the anti-war movement, which is funded by these Marxists. And now today in 2020, that issue, environmentalism, was earlier. And then within the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, racism has become the wedge issue. It used to be environmentalism was to destroy our country, at least to destroy the wealth of our great capitalist country by making us become having to, with all of these environmental projects that we had to do at great expense, greater than the other developing countries, and that was to go into our treasury and deplete it, somewhat successful, but now to divide us, I believe it is racism. And the Black Lives Matter movement is run by Marxists. So you put that thought together. Black Lives Matter movement is dividing us on racial lines. So that tells me that the communists, whether it be the Chinese or the Russian, are sending lots of money into the Black Lives Matter movement. How else do you think that they made $90 million last year? That's a lot of money for for any type of a movement, any type of a social movement. So I connect those few dots, and that's the picture that it tells me. I didn't go searching for it. I take the dots, I analyze it, and I go, this has the fingerprints of the Marxists trying to divide the United States and crush our capitalist country by dividing us along racial lines, which they know are strong, bitter, and become violent very easily if the right buttons are pushed. And we're seeing those right buttons being pushed now like never before, and it scares me quite a bit.
Well, it should scare, because we are seeing the advancement of communism in America right up and into the White House with communist Kamala and, you know, dictator Joe Biden, embracing pretty much dictatorial, unconstitutional acts. And I was listening to Newsmax. I had it on in the background today, and one of the shows they were talking about and then, of course, Sue from New Mexico. Sue sent me – it was great. She sent a video on Twitter of a show. It was a pro-Second Amendment YouTube show, and they had a lobbyist on there for the gun rights. And, they're talking about how this Congress – and this president are aggressively seeking to disarm Americans, how they are seeking to dismantle the Second Amendment. And, you know, the Second Amendment is very clear, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. And I don't know what part of that these communists in Congress don't understand. Well, they understand it, but I think what they understand is the way to take total and absolute control is to dismember the Bill of Rights. And you have to dismember the Second Amendment. And in order to do that, you have to disarm the American people. To your question about institutional racism, Holger says, institutional racism is that which is embedded in the laws of society, i.e. Justice Department convicts more blacks prison terms for marijuana, knowing that blacks are involved. So, you know, it's, I think with communism, you've got the absolute power. And how does dictator Joe Biden, you know, circumvent the First Amendment, circumvent the Second Amendment? But it's not just dictator Joe, it's also Nancy Pelosi and the United States House of Representatives, and how they can pass laws that would start infringing upon free speech, the ability to peaceably assemble. And think about that. Think about how that's been so easily abridged under the guise of a plandemic. And you know, we should be concerned at these anti-constitutionalists in Congress today, and including the two anti-constitutionalists in the White House, the president and vice president. Those two are the most anti-constitutionalists. And then you have to worry about the Senate, because now with a 50-50 split, and listen, Joe Manchin is no hero, okay? So let's just forget about it, because if a Second Amendment issue comes to the floor of the United States Senate, okay, Joe Manchin will go with his fellow communists of the Democrat Communist Party. Okay, so let's not you know, fall over ourselves thinking, oh, Joe Manchin is going to be he's not going to be the deciding vote. Okay, he's a coward. He's an anti-constitutionalist, and this is what we have to put up with today in the United States government. Okay, from Nancy Pelosi to Chuck Schumer. Okay, and the other henchmen all in the U.S. Congress, because now you've got communist Kamala, who's going to side with the Democrat Communist Party, okay? And we will see the further erosion of our constitutional rights. The abridging of the freedom of speech, okay? So now we have to worry about What is considered hate speech? Let's define speech, okay? And it's what the feelings are today of the Marxist in Congress, okay? And then, of course, we know about the freedom to peaceably assemble. If you want to go to church, you're the threat of being arrested for congregating. And then Dictator Joe just issued an edict last week. No more small gatherings for the 4th of July if we don't have this pandemic under control. Excuse me, Joe, we're wearing two masks, we're getting vaccinated, and now we still can't gather? See, this is all bullshit. It's all about power. And it's all about controlling the American people. And it's exactly what Dictator Joe Biden, the buffoon who was placed and installed in the White House, that's what he was set to do. He's the buffoon that's putting forth this radical anti-American, anti-constitutional agenda.
Amen to that.
So with the Chinese virus update, seeing the positive impact of vaccinations is encouraging for the countries that have vaccines, but it's a source of additional frustration and despair for most of the world that just does not, says Suri Moon, co-director of the Global Health Center at the Graduate Institute of International and Development Studies in Geneva. This broad's got too much time. She, Ms. Moon goes on to say, she says the United States and other wealthy countries have a moral imperative, but also a responsibility to their own citizens to increase the global vaccine supply. And don't you just love these so-called scholars? Okay, so please tell us what the moral imperative does to communist China for them releasing the Chinese virus on the Western world, okay, or releasing it on the rest of the world, where India now, an explosion of Chinese virus deaths are occurring. The same with Brazil. And now we're told with this different strains. So what is the moral obligation to funding the Chinese virus vaccine so poorer countries such as India and Brazil or even the European Union can vaccinate their citizens? If indeed that's the aim to control this so-called pandemic, where's the moral imperative for communist China? Okay, what responsibility does communist red China have for each and every death due to the Chinese virus globally? Huh? You know, why is it incumbent upon the United States of America to be the funding arm for the world? Why doesn't the United Nations hold China accountable for releasing the Chinese virus and then prohibiting the World Health Organization from going into Wuhan, as you aptly pointed out before the show, and investigating how this Chinese virus supposedly was released? But, of course, the Chinese aren't held accountable, and they get away scot-free.
Yep, the Chinese wouldn't even let the World Health Organization into China, into Wuhan, to go to the virology lab to see how their operations are and if they created it and how best to fight it. So the Chinese are responsible for all these deaths.
And when President Trump tries to hold the World Health Organization accountable, okay, because it's incumbent upon them to sit there and to hold China accountable, we have a World Health Organization that the United States was what, dropping $500 million a year into? And you're telling me that the WHO can't go into where the source of this virus apparently emanated from? And so President Trump aptly said, why are we part of who? The World Health Organization. And then the buffoon Biden comes in, and he immediately rejoins who with absolutely no question about China and their involvement in releasing this pandemic, this virus around the world, creating a pandemic and an economic halt to the Western world. I mean,
yep.
I just, And you know what, Chief? I'm with you on this one. Chief, this is Chief's comment. I'm doing my part to fulfill my moral imperative to increase the global supply of vaccine. I refuse to get vaccinated. Some person of color in the third world can have my dose. And you know something, Chief? I agree with you. And he can have my – there's two doses right now, or four if you use the Moderna or the Pfizer, or two if you use the Johnson & Johnson. I don't plan on getting vaccinated. I don't want that shit in my system, especially now with the Corona World facts now stating that we might have to get booster shots on an annual basis because the current vaccine may only last 6 months. In the meantime, we have to have these vaccines. We have to have these vaccine passports. I'll tell you, man. This fucking drives my.
Well, the vaccine passports around two of this. Leo Holman writes a great article, and he says the private corporations are working hand in glove with state and local governments to quietly implement digital vaccine passports, forcing Americans to show their papers before they can attend universities, board airlines, enter libraries, hotels, cruise ships, sports arenas, eventually almost every type of business that deals with the public. This is not speech that is out of the realm of possibility because Rutgers University, Boston University, Notre Dame are among the institutions of higher learning that have already announced they will require students to show proof of vaccination against COVID before they can return to school in the fall. On March 26th, the state of New York rolled out its Excelsior Pass system developed in cooperation with IBM for certain large gathering events, including sports theaters, concert halls, and other venues. Health officials in Orange County, California announced a digital passport that enables individuals to participate safely with peace of mind in activities that involve interactions with other people, including travel, attractions, conferences, meeting, concerts, sports, school, and more, even though the virus may stop working after 6 months and you may need a booster.
Well, now, does
peace
it apply?
Mind?
Okay, so does it apply to... Does it apply to Vikings?
The Vikings have landed.
Let that Viking in.
Get your booster.
Boy, I tell myself I'm not going to call in today, and then you guys start pressing every damn button. I mean, it's just surprise there isn't 60 phone calls. I mean, my God.
I think Movement's on there, too. The poor guy's been on hold, too, so go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to go back to your discussion about the institutional racism and the shooting of the 15-year-old black girl and all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, since this is the white supremacy segment, you know, if the Viking decided to call in and, you know, represent the skinheads of the world. But, you know, what it amounts to now is, you know, we're just basically dealing with what's been going on for 50, 60, 70 years when the liberals of this land decided that they were going to use a race of people in this country as a tool, as a weapon, so that they could gain more power. And, you know, they basically systematically, you want to talk about systematic racism, they systematically dismantled the black family. They got the male father removed from every household. You know, they created this environment where 16-year-old black girls are having babies. So when those babies become 16, their mother's a whopping 32. And, you know, there is no punishment. You know, we talk about the fact that the law, there is no law in this land. There's no punishment in this land allowed. You know, if you look back at the video that you were talking about of this incident where the cop shot the 15-year-old girl with a knife, if you watch the video as he gets out, as he first pulls up, this girl with the knife hits a different girl and knocks her to the ground. And if you watch the video, there's a guy, a man, that that runs up and kicks the girl on the ground in the head. Kicks her in the head. A teenage girl is on the ground, and a grown man runs up and kicks her in the head. You know who he is?
Ooh.
He's the dad of the girl with the knife.
So then
the girl with the knife, of course, the one's on the ground, so then she goes after the one in pink. And, you know, bottom line is they have created animal-like behavior. You know, Al just talked about what went on in Miami Airport. We watch video after – how many videos do I have to see of the fucking Burger King melee at midnight? You know, because somebody, you know, somebody got 5 Chicken McNuggets instead of 6, so we're going to trash the place. I mean, it is absolutely out of control, and it's never going to get any better, because obviously we've come to this point now where everybody in authority is saying, well, we can't punish anybody. I mean, what about the 2 girls that murdered the Uber driver?
I mean,
my God. I mean, it's like they killed a man. They're underage, but they killed a man, and nothing happens to him. What message does that send? And the girl with the knife that got shot by the cop, you know damn well that fight, that whole stabbing incident, was probably created because the one girl probably looked at her boyfriend the wrong way, or they said something mean on Twitter or on Instagram. You know, that's the extent of what caused this girl to pick up a knife and try and kill 2 other girls. I mean, where are the people in the black community that are standing up and saying, we have to quit acting like animals? And I mean, we can't even get a jury to conduct a fair trial in this country, let alone somebody stand up and say the truth, that look at the behavior of these people. And I mean, how many times have you heard that reported on the news that the guy that kicked the girl on the ground is the girl's dad?
0.0.
Nobody reported
None.
That. How many people in the media reported the fact that hands up, don't shoot was a complete fabrication? It was a complete lie back
right.
in Ferguson. How many times did they get up and say, now everybody, we have to make it very clear that this person, this witness, lied and was actually put in prison for that lie? They never said it.
Nope.
Because
it
doesn't feed the agenda.
Correct.
So that's all I
got. Well, let me ask you this. Now, you brought up the issue of the Uber driver, okay? So you've got 2 black girls, 1 15 and 1 13, who killed an Uber driver. This guy was innocent. All he was doing his job. Now, LaJuan James didn't weigh in on this thing. Like, you're next. Okay, so where's the outrage at a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old girl who should know better? At least a 15-year-old should, stealing a car and intentionally stealing the car and then killing them. And didn't they have a weapon, too, I thought? I thought I read that somewhere. Okay, but they still, the fact
taser.
That they killed a 59, oh, a taser. They killed that 59-year-old man.
Well, they attacked him with the taser to steal the car. Then the guy drove off. They tasered him again. The car flipped. He's flown from the car and died. And the Uber driver was Muslim. Now, here's the kicker. He was
okay.
Muslim. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, has been silent. Neha Dawad has been silent on this.
Oh, my God.
And that is the greatest hypocrisy. And this poor man is just trying to make a living, new to this country. And he gets whacked, and the judicial system in D.C. just leaves him out there to be murdered.
But that's the whole point. You know, LeBron James doesn't care one bit about black lives. He could care less. If he really cared about the lives of black people, he would be protesting against Planned Parenthood. He would be holding rallies on the south side of Chicago where 48 people get black people get shot every weekend. He doesn't care about black lives. All that matters is that if a white cop shoots a black person, that's all that matters. So black lives killed by police matters. That's in essence, that's what it is.
Yeah, and if you look at, there's a pattern of behavior. The two girls that were fighting the knifing were black. The beat down at Miami International Airport were between black. It was black on black. All of these events, for the most part, have been black on black.
And that's the other point is you know, you're going to get to the point, you know, with you know, so for example, in the south side of Chicago, the reason that, you know, there's 40, 50, 60 shootings every weekend is because white cops won't even go there. They won't even drive into that section of town because of what happened to Derek Chauvin, because of what's going to happen to them if they go in there. And so bottom line was they're forcing it to be the fact that if you're a white cop and you get called to a domestic dispute situation where you know it's black people involved, you're not going to go. I mean, is that the solution?
Let me say this. I've got friends that are police officers, and you know what? And I'm not disputing your account at all, but domestic violence calls scare the hell out of police officers in general. It doesn't matter because it's so volatile. And you know what? You don't want to go into down in the south side of Chicago because, first of all, you don't even have the support of your mayor, okay? And everybody's a victim, okay? But now you've got 38 people, you know, injured, 13 people killed, you know, over a weekend, seven-year-old girl killed, a five-year-old girl killed. And where's the mayor? Oh, we're going to talk about, you know, riding on a horse and trick-or-treating and census. You know, this is the hypocrisy of the left wing, because they don't want to address the real root cause. Oh, we're gonna address the root cause of people coming over the border, and we're gonna go talk to the Mexican president about trees. What the hell is that shit?
Well, and like I said, you know, this is all where there has been no responsibility has been taught in these homes. There's no punishment that's doled out for any kind of a thing. You know, George Floyd passing a counterfeit bill is a felony. That's a felony.
Right.
I mean, this isn't some stupid little misdemeanor like having, you know, a half an ounce of frickin' pot in your pocket. That's a felony offense. And the fact of the matter is that this isn't just black stuff. I mean, RZ and me were face-to-face with the Antifaites up here in St. Paul a number of years ago, and those kids are all white, and they're in the same boat. They have seen no consequences for their actions. They have seen no punishment. The people in Portland, they arrest 30 of them a night, and they're out in 2 minutes. They don't even have to post bail. I mean, it's a joke. They get arrested and they're out in 15 minutes. They get their little badge of honor because they got arrested, and they're back on the street in 15 minutes. And the Kamala Harris's of the world, I mean, actually coordinated the bail efforts for these people. So you got white kids are in the same boat. They're throwing Molotov cocktails at federal police, burning down buildings, burning up cars on the street and stuff, and it's just a big joke. It's animalistic behavior that nobody has put their fist down on. And, you know, what's the old saying? Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Right. Yep.
And well, that's exactly all I got, boys. I feel a lot better.
Good. This is your therapy session.
All right.
Fantastic.
All righty. See you guys.
Always a pleasure.
Hey.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Great call.
You know, Holger is absolutely correct with regards to accountability, and that's the problem with this whole thing, because it's very clear. It's not about the crime that's being committed, and that's the moral obligation, you would think, of the black leaders to start calling out the criminals, the crime aspect of it, and they're not. Mm-hmm. And then I love this thing where they're all outraged, you know, and Margaret Sanger was the person behind the genocide committed to the black community to limit the Negro population, I believe, is what her goal was. And some people who, you know, some of the recipients of the Margaret Sanger Award, Nancy Pelosi in 2014, Hillary Rodham Clinton in 2009, Jane Fonda, the anti-American, Ted Turner, the wife of Jane Fonda. Then you've got Kathleen Turner in Dallas, Texas. Justice Harry Blackmun in 1996 was a recipient of the Margaret Sanger Award. Bella Abzug, the famous female politician from New York. Mufawaza Khan, okay? Phil Donahue, all of these great people who were – Katharine Hepburn. There is no accountability. All Margaret Sanger did was she wanted to limit the Negro population, and somehow that's not racist. Because it falls under the left-wing purview. And that's just it. The left-wing and communists, that's all part of the Communist Manifesto. You laud these individuals and then play the victim on the other side. And now police officers are the convenient punching bag in the United States. And it's all part of the same Communist Manifesto. Go after law enforcement. You know, defund the police. That's the cry today. But what was the first thing that these people do when they get into trouble? They call 911. Send the police right over. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. There you go. Send the police over, quick. Oh, okay. So, and then, of course, you've got Maxine Waters. You know, the witless Waters goes to Minneapolis, and what does she do? She demands a police escort. Son of a gun. Oh, she has a police escort. Oh, you want the police now? And in another breath, you look at the police and talk about defunding the police. My goodness, it boggles the mind. There's like no accountability anymore for anything. You know, it's the police are bad, but don't look at the crime aspect of it. The police acted stupidly in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and the only thing they were doing was investigating. You know, a call of a possible break-in, two suspicious men. They had no ID, and they had to prove who they were. Why? Because that area was experiencing break-ins, had a high rate of break-ins in the area. And the president of the United States weighs in and claims that the Cambridge police acted stupidly. And that was the catalyst. That started it. And you know, Al, Joe Biden is not smart enough to do all this by himself. And when you start looking at who Joe Biden had brought in to the administration, it's all Obamaites, from Susan Rice to the anti-American John Kerry. You know, all this Baghdad Bob Jensaki, you know, all of these people were all Obama holdovers. And you know, that's what's interesting, because Joe Biden's not smart enough to do this by himself, but he's smart enough to implement this with someone pulling his strings. And, you know, I was reading an article, I read so many articles this weekend, back from Wednesday, at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, and they called, you know, Biden a puppet, and who's pulling his strings. And it's exactly right. And it got me to thinking that, you know, Biden isn't smart enough, but those that are pulling his strings, he's the perfect puppet to implement all of these radical anti-American edicts and agenda. And certainly this started with Barack Hussein, Sator, Obama, who put this all on fast track. And then you look at the administration and you look at who's surrounding, you know, dictator Joe Biden, and it's all former Obama people. I mean, look at what's happened. Look at the revelation that came out today. John Kerry, that anti-American traitor in Jihad Watch, the headline read, Iran's foreign minister says Kerry informed him about covert Israeli actions in Syria at least 200 times. I go to, you start looking into this. John Kerry admits to undermining president, conducting rogue diplomacy with Iran. Now, that is a blatant violation of the Logan Act, for one. Secondly, it should be an act of treason, and that bastard should not serve in the United States government. He should be in Gitmo as an enemy combatant and a treasonous son of a bitch. That is absolutely incredible that you've got John Kerry at the time was Secretary of State of the United States of America. And not only did he undermine the President of the United States, but he was undermining our deepest ally in the Middle East, Israel. Now, if I'm Israel, I am not going to trust this government any longer, so long as John Kerry serves in the Biden regime under any capacity, because I wouldn't trust anybody in the Biden regime with Susan Rice sitting at the right hand of dictator Joe. You're telling me that John Kerry betrayed the trust and the confidence of our truest ally in the Middle East, Israel, and he was Secretary of State at the time. Talk about undermining our ally. Talk about imperiling Israel and the Israeli people. Talk about violating the Logan Act to undermine the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, and his administration. That is an act of treason. This man shouldn't be dog catcher in the United States of America. He should be in Gitmo, and he should be wearing an orange jumpsuit. What a rotten bastard this man is. But you know what? This whole thing stinks. Everything stinks since Obama took office. This whole thing with spying on Donald J. Trump when he was candidate Trump, when he was president-elect Trump, when he was president Trump, the whole Russian collusion, it's all horseshit. And yes, I'm rehashing it because as time is going on, we are finding out what was reported, and we were told, oh, it's just another right-wing conspiracy. How long do you hear that, huh? You know, making up things about President Trump, oh, an anonymous source, a source close to the president, a source close to the White House. You know, it turns out it was a janitor in the freaking Secretary of State Department, okay? But this is absolutely true. Former Secretary of State John Kerry admitted in an interview early Wednesday to conducting rogue diplomacy with top Iranian officials behind President Trump's back. That is treason. That is a violation of the Logan Act. That is treason. And with this report that's that came out in Jihad Watch, that John Kerry had informed Iran about Israel's covert operations in Syria at least 200 times. This is one despicable individual. And now he's sitting in the Biden regime. If I am Israel, I am cutting ties. I am severing ties immediately with the Biden administration unless they fire John Kerry. If I am Benjamin Netanyahu and I am the Israeli Knesset, I am severing ties with the United States of America until dictator Joe Biden fires John Kerry. And he fires him publicly because this admission by John Kerry should land this son of a bitch in Gitmo. He was conducting diplomacy with a foreign nation in defiance of the President of the United States. And he was undermining our ally Israel. conducting diplomacy with a foreign nation in defiance of what the president has deemed in the best interest of the American people and is borderline treason by nearly every measuring stick. It's certainly, at least, a blatant violation of the Logan Act. John Kerry, I met with him at a conference in Norway, Kerry said, speaking about Zarif. I think I saw him in a conference in Munich at the World Economic Forum, so I've probably seen him three or four times. The former Obama official indicated that he had discussed aspects of the Iranian missile program because he does not believe President Trump is currently engaged in their own diplomacy. You know, see, he took it upon himself. And again, it's an act of treason. This is exactly what we've been talking about for 4 years. For 4 years, the swamp had sought to undermine President Donald J. Trump. The swamp intentionally deceived the American people. The swamp intentionally created fictitious crisis and tried to undermine President Donald J. Trump. And now, after President Trump leaves office, it is now confirmed, and in Kerry's own words, that he had arranged diplomacy with Iran behind the President of the United States' back. This man is one anti-American bastard. This man should be in Gitmo. And I'm going to say it again. If I am Israel, I am severing all diplomatic ties with the United States of America until dictator Joe Biden terminates and publicly terminates John F. Kerry from his administration. And furthermore, I think the Israelis should demand that he's brought up on charges, at least sedition, because that arrogant fuck had no business going behind the back of the president of the United States, whomever that president was, let alone it be Donald J. Trump. Who in the hell do these assholes think they are? Huh? They think they can do anything, and you know what? They got away with it for 4 years. They launched these fictitious and phony charges against Donald Trump, against his administration. And now, as time goes on, the truth starts coming out. How dare John Kerry go behind the President of the United States? How dare does this draft-dodging piece of shit go against the Israeli people? He breaks the trust. He breaks the confidence of our only ally in the Middle East, Israel. Our only true ally, the only true democracy in the Middle East is Israel. It's bad enough the Israelis are facing terror on all of their fronts. And then you've got a piece of garbage like John F. Kerry undermines Israel and goes to a rogue theocratic Islamic nation, a terrorist nation, Iran, and feeds them information? Who in the hell does this piece of shit think he is? And again, no accountability. None. And this guy ran for president of the United States? What a piece of garbage. What a lying piece of crap. He is one true anti-American.
Trump, in May of 2019, accused John Kerry of violating federal law by siding with Iran over U.S. interests and said he should be prosecuted for it, President Trump said. He said, quote, you know, John Kerry speaks to them a lot. John Kerry tells them not to call. That's a violation of the Logan Act, and frankly, he should be prosecuted on that, Trump said at the time. However, the Attorney General did nothing. We are as much to blame. And then he goes back and the Yeah, Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif met with Kerry and President Barack Obama's Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz when former President Trump was in the White House, which Kerry admitted to in 2018. Kerry and Moniz were instrumental in negotiating the 2015 nuclear deal between Iran and global powers. Now, John Kerry said he met with Zarif and other Iranian officials in an effort to salvage the nuclear deal while President Trump was dismantling it. Trump later that month slammed Kerry for his shadow diplomacy, which you articulated earlier, saying the Obama administration officials are who got the U.S. into this mess in the first place. There were no charges filed then. Who's going to file the charges now? Are the Republicans going to do it? They sure as hell better, or else it's not going to get done. It'll just get covered up, and this will become an old news story.
You know, here's the
when
Logan
are the chickens going to come home? When are the chickens going to come home to roost? They're making a water racket now. Yeah.
Okay, so the Logan Act states, any citizen of the United States who, without authority of the United States, carries on any correspondence or intercourse with any foreign government or any officer or agent thereof with intent to influence the measures or conduct of any foreign government shall be fined under the title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. Now, of course, this at the intercourse part of it. So now you've got Eric Swalwell, you know, banging Fang Fang. But this is very clear with the Logan Act. And John Kerry clearly violated that. Not just that, but the issue now of not less than 200 times informing Iran of Israel's covert operations. Oh, my God. I'll tell you,
That's treason.
That is treason. You know, the Israelis, all they want to do is live in peace. And you've got these terrorist nations, Syria, Iran, who want and Hamas, who just want to annihilate Israel. For what? For being Israeli, being Jewish. And then you have an administration, the Obama Biden regime, who had total and utter contempt for Israel. And then you have John Kerry, who follows that same anti-Semitic theme. Now, shouldn't we have been more astute to this because Kerry's daughter marries an Iranian national who's close to the Ayatollah Khomeini government? That should tell us, you know, a lot in itself. And you've got John Kerry selling out Israel. You know, what also bothers me is you've got President Trump. We all know he was crass. He was to the point. But he sought ways to create peace. And bring it on, boy, it's espionage. I agree with you right there. Boom, espionage. Great word. President Trump, even with dictators, tried to find a common ground for peace, P-E-A-C-E, peace. Just in case there are liberals listening, it's not P-I-E-C-E, okay? And President Trump is excoriated for having the audacity to bring Kim Jong-un to the table. And in the process of meeting with Kim Jong-un, President Trump did what 12 presidents prior to him could not do. And that was have 53 human remains of U.S. soldiers killed in Korea during the Korean War returned to America, giving families closure. And, you know, it's what I find really troubling is that all President Trump was guilty of was putting America's interests first, trying to find a common ground of peace so that not only America, but the world would not feel the wrath of war. Trying to put closure to the Afghan war, 19 years in Afghanistan, in a shithole in Asia, 18 years in Iraq, trying to put closure, okay? And President Trump was excoriated for that. He was ridiculed for having the audacity to have a dialogue with Kim Jong-un. And all he did was bring Kim Jong-un to the table in a quest for peace. And then you read this with John Kerry undermining the President of the United States, undermining our ally Israel, betraying the trust and the confidence of our ally Israel and the Israeli people, placing them in further peril. And he did this while he was Secretary of State in a titled capacity. And he was informing with a despotic, theocratic terrorist regime who now his daughter marries an Iranian national who has ties to that theocratic Islamic terrorist regime. He didn't do it once by accident. He didn't do it twice. He didn't do it three times in 10. He did it 200 times. An ally of the United States of America. This is what's in the government today. This is part of Joe Biden regime. The dictator Joe Biden has brought these treasonous people back into government, into his government. And I'll tell you, Al, if I am the state of Israel, I am Benjamin Netanyahu, I'm sending a formal letter to dictator Joe Biden, and I'm telling him that as of May 1, as of April 28th, as of April 27th, 2021, all diplomatic ties are severed until further notice and until John F. Kerry is, one, terminated, but brought up on charges of treason for betraying the trust of the Jewish people, of the Jewish state, and of the American people and the United States of America. And you know what? If I'm Benjamin Netanyahu, I'm going to get the New York Post to publish that letter as well, because John Kerry should hang for this. And as Boy said, it's espionage. It's a violation of the Logan Act, and it's treason. God, we knew Obama was an anti-Semite and despised Israel. But now we know that dictator Joe Biden is the same, and certainly John F. Kerry is one anti-Semite, anti-Israelite who despises Israel. Wow. And you know, arrogantly, the guy is okay with it. You know, arrogantly, oh yeah, I you know what? I met with Zarif, yeah, oh yeah, it's okay. You know, because I felt that President Trump wasn't doing his job. It's not your place. It is not your. They are a terrorist state. Iran. They were on the travel ban. The seven states that were on the no travel. One of them was Iran, and rightly so. Oh my God, this is unbelievable, unbelievable. I know, boy.
Well,
I agree.
Well, if it's Israel at a very precarious spot, because I'm sure that they are aware of this, of these dealings by Kerry. But you also got to keep in mind that right now Iran is an existential threat to the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And if they, my guess is they will probably do nothing. And because once Iran gets the nukes, Israel is the only country that's going to take it out. Now, President Trump knew this and planned for that with these Abraham Accords, because now Israeli planes will get flyover of these Arab countries in order to take out the Iranians. When the time comes, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. When that happens, the Iranians are going to have to be taken out, and clearly our State Department is in the bag with Iran. They, in fact, so much so that John Kerry believed that this Iranian deal was so important that it required him to do the shadow dealing, break American law, commit espionage, treason, in order to keep this deal alive with the Iranians during President Trump's presidency. Hubris? That is the definition of hubris. I think Israel's seeing the bigger picture, and they've got they need to and must protect Israel, and they're going to, and in protecting Israel, they're going to protect the world, like they did when they took out when they took out Egypt's nuclear capabilities and Syria's, for that matter.
You know, at least the Israelis had confidence that the United States would have their back. But now, I mean, you've got with dictator Joe Biden, a holdover, a regurgitated Obama, and then you've got Obama's third, you know, pretty much Obama's third term, you know, in action. And then you've got the revelations about Kerry. And now John Kerry is this global, you know, climate change czar who flies around the world. I would not trust, and also with Susan Rice in the White House, I would not trust giving any type of information to dictator Joe, just because one, Susan Rice, and it goes right back to Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. And secondly, you know, they're going to be telling John Kerry, giving him information as well. This is, you know, this is one rogue government. No wonder they wanted Trump out so bad. I mean, you've got dictator Joe in his 100 days now, his first 100 days, and he's been an absolute disaster. Joe Biden has been a disaster. I mean, how many executive orders has he signed since being installed? You know, taking credit for the vaccine now, when in fact it was dictator Joe Biden who called President Trump xenophobic, who didn't want to restrict travel to and from China, which would have meant more deaths in the United States. You know, if it wasn't for, you know, President Trump restricting travel to and from China, then restricting travel from to and from Europe, despite the fact that Nancy Pelosi and dictator Joe were calling President Trump a xenophobe. And then President Trump pulling out of the World Health Organization for failing to do their job, for not holding China accountable for releasing the Chinese virus on the United States and the world. And one of the first things that dictator Joe does, he rejoins the World Health Organization. So there's no consequences for China. No consequences for China's actions. No consequences for the 300, 400,000 deaths in America. No consequences now for the hundreds of thousands of deaths that are occurring in Brazil and India. None. No consequences for the tens of thousands of deaths in Europe. You got the United Kingdom virtually closed. You've got Australia finally opening up their doors and New Zealand travel to and from, you know, those two countries. But they've had no tourism the last year. None. No tourism. Zero. Zilch. Not except for who? The Chinks. The Chinese are traveling, okay, to New Zealand and to Australia. This whole pandemic is a ruse. And, you know, this whole thing with the World Health Organization, and you know what? The useless nations are also to blame. And so you also have the climate change issue. You've got dictator Joe Biden now rejoining the Paris Accord, which is going to cost the American taxpayers dearly. And we're already seeing it with the destruction of the Keystone Pipeline. So the first 100 days, you've got dictator Joe Biden destroying 33,000 jobs at a minimum. Increase in gas prices that affect each and every individual in the United States who drive, not just those making $400,000 or more. 80 cents, 90 cents, a dollar a gallon more since January the 20th. Diesel fuel up over a dollar a gallon, which means that the cost of shipping goods in the United within the United States now has increased. That means truckers paying more to deliver goods like food to supermarkets. An additional $100, $200, $300 just in shipping costs that trucking companies did not anticipate. And what's the end result of that, Al? Increasing prices to offset the increase in costs. Mandating $15 an hour for federal jobs. $15 minimum wage. That it will ensure that small business will suffer. Small business will pay dearly. Oh, and did you hear about the 43.4% increase in the corporate tax rate? Oh my goodness. Let's see. Here, Charles Payne put out a tweet last week. Reports President – I hate even to use the word President and Biden in the same sentence. Reports Biden looking to levy 43.4% capital gains tax. Dropping an economic neutron bomb, the only thing that will be left of the brave girl statue once he's done with Wall Street. But the entire nation will pay a heavy price for the progressive nirvana. And he's absolutely right. A 43.4% capital gains tax. You know, what was proven was that when you cut taxes, you can experience economic growth. Now, we don't have to go back to 1935. We don't have to go back to 1947. We don't have to go back to 1955. We can just go back to 2018 when you cut the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%. It spurred an economic boom in America. So much so it scared the bejesus out of the establishment, out of the swamp, out of the unified party, out of the government party. It scared them to hell. Why? Because it put more money back into the American people's pockets. But it was also a proof that if you cut corporate tax rates, okay, corporations will start investing into America. They will start investing by hiring more people. They will start investing by expanding their businesses. Maybe it means, you know, buying more computer equipment, buying more durable equipment. Proven that when you cut the tax rate, the corporations will start investing. They will start taking the money that they put on the side, and they will start putting it back into the economy. Now, the economic geniuses now that took control back, okay, that would be the disastrous Democrat Communist Party, decides that they want to put a halt to that, and they're going to start raising prices. They're going to start raising taxes. They're going to start with this whole regurgitated, failed policies that the rich need to pay their fair share. And so now we're going to go to a screeching halt. Now we can look to inflation as well. You're going to start increasing the corporate tax rate incrementally from 21 to 28%. Corporations will start slowing down their investment, will start turning the spigots off for investing. Raise the capital gains tax. Well, that's a genius thing. It was proven that doesn't work. That stems growth. And as Charles Payne said, the entire nation will pay a heavy price for the progressive nirvana. And the progressives, the Democrat Communist Party, just doesn't want Americans to succeed. They want Americans to be indentured to the federal government. And it's really and truly sad that we have now a history that we can look to. We could just go back to 2018 to see how the economic boom was unleashed. And taking the restraints off the American people, lowering the corporate tax rate, okay, letting small business do what they do best, and that is build an economy, because small business does build that. Okay, despite the Communist Manifesto where you didn't build that, that's absolute garbage. But nobody challenges these extremists, these radicals, these anti-capitalists. And make no bones about it, okay? Dictator Joe Biden is an anti-capitalist. He's anti-free enterprise. Because if he was free enterprise, if he had any type of capitalist bone in his body, he wouldn't go back to the same old tired, failed, regurgitated slogans about paying your fair share. And the first thing that these progressives do, these communists do, is that they raise taxes. Oh, they put these excuses. Oh, the rich need to pay their fair. The rich pay their fair share. Okay, they're the ones that are buying the $70,000 Mercedes, the $70,000 Porsches. It's not the person making $12 an hour. If it wasn't for the rich people, you wouldn't have the automakers building the cars in which they as fast as they're building them. What about, you know, other durable goods, huh? You want to put an economic slowdown together? Why is the cost of lumber so high now? God. And it's all by design, Al. It's like President Trump didn't exist, and let's undo everything so we can go back to the progressive nirvana. I love that term, progressive nirvana. You know, because, you know, it's a wet dream for these progressives. Pay higher taxes and just continue to screw the American people.
This battle has been going on for years. This is the battle between communism and capitalism.
Yep.
What you're saying is Keynesian economics in action, the failed Keynesian economics of where government can spend to prosperity. It doesn't work. You tax the rich and have an equitable distribution of income, and then there will be, as you said, a nirvana. And it doesn't work. It's never worked throughout history. Capitalism has always prospered. How do you think America has prospered in 230 years to where we are now? Because you and me, we can succeed or fail based on our own merits.
Right.
And circling back to John Kerry for a second, we have to look back to the Vietnam War, because and this is where we get a good sense of what is in John Kerry and who he is, and because John Kerry, he colluded and communicated with our country's adversaries, has been Kerry's method of operation for years, going back to the Vietnam War a half century ago. Because back then, Kerry, a Vietnam War veteran who turned against the war, held his own secret peace talks in Paris with representatives of the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong. While he had no official standing, and while he was still a reserve U.S. Navy officer, his meeting took place in Paris while official U.S. peace talks were held at the same time in the same city. Sound familiar? Kerry even returned to Washington with an 8-point North Vietnamese communist peace proposal that he presented to Congress. And instead of being sent to the brig or officially reprimanded for colluding with the enemy while serving in the military, Kerry was hailed as a hero by Democrats who also opposed the war. That is who John Kerry is. 50 years ago in Vietnam, and we're seeing the same pattern of behavior today. Why is anyone surprised? Will anybody do anything about it? I don't think so. I don't think the Republicans have the balls to do anything about it. President Trump had the opportunity to do it when Kerry did it to him, and he didn't even file charges against him. Why? I don't know. Could have been Bob Barr said, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah, not going to do it because the swamp does stick together. That's for certain. You know, it's just unbelievable, man. It is truly unbelievable that he's allowed to get away with this. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up about Vietnam, because this is the second time. Who knows? We say the second time. It's probably the fifth or sixth time. You know, the arrogance of this shadow government to undermine, you know, a president of the United States, and doing so in 1970, 72, doing it again in 2017, 2018, 2019, I mean, this is unbelievable, man. It's so hard to comprehend at times, and you wonder how these bastards get away with this. How does someone like John F. Perry get away with this?
Oh, you want to hear a little chunk of history? Back in 1933, the National Socialist German Workers' Party, they started what was the infamous secret police, because they wanted their own policing, very similar to what we're having now. And you know what that secret police was called?
The CIA?
The Gestapo.
No, the Gestapo.
Gestapo. The German National Socialist Workers Party are the Nazis. And in order for that totalitarian regime to control those that enforce the rule of law, they created the secret police or the SS. That is what our communist, Marxist enemies within are trying to do here with the defunding the police. Maybe in a different way, using a different name, but there is definitely a parallel track and data points connect the two if you put the two together. A little bit of history goes a long way. And if you think I'm wrong, call in and please tell me what you think.
No way, you're not wrong. I mean, the parallels are there. We've got a dictator in the White House. We have a subversive government. We've had it now, which confirmed, okay? We've had it during President Trump. President Trump was telling the truth. Here again, once again, proven right. He stated that he was spied on as a citizen and as a candidate, Trump, and that was true. He was. He had a rogue FBI that was led by a rogue president, an unconstitutional president, okay, who authorized the spying on a private citizen, on a candidate for president in a major party. And President Trump was proven right on that. And now today he's proven right once again that John F. Kerry is a treasonous SOB. He's proven right again. And that's why they wanted that man out, because President Trump was absolutely correct. He knew who the leeches were. He knew who the scumbags were. And John F. Kerry is one of those scumbags.
Bigly. Bolt Dog says, hey, Vito, don't worry. Mr. Bruce Jenner will save California from the freak show that it is, and maybe, and I'm adding even maybe the rest of the country. And yes, I'm calling him Mr. Bruce Jenner because he is a man with male DNA. He may dress like a woman and want to be Caitlyn, but he's still Bruce Jenner.
Oh, hey, listen, Dr. Andrew Harrod had a great show on that very thing. And he had a woman, a doctor, I believe she was, or she is, and she was absolutely right. She said that the guy that dresses like a woman in the dictator Joe Biden regime, you know, his name is Richard. Okay, well, he legally changed his name to Rachel, but he's still a man. And so, you know, you can change your name to anything, but he's still a man. So he's still Bruce Jenner.
Mister, not his, her, it. He's a he, him. Whatever else there is that goes with that.
I guess Joey Behar called him. That's funny. She's a lunatic in herself.
I'll call him Bruce Jenner. I don't give a crap about all this self-identifying bullshit. I've had it up to my eyeballs with it.
Well, you know what? I haven't had up to my eyeballs. Tomorrow night, we've got Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. Wednesday, we got Hank Jones with Poly Sports. He's on at 5:30. Thursday, we got Dr. Paul Sutliff, Sutliffian Report. And Paul's got a sidekick, Leo Holman. Great show. Friday, Dr. Andrew Harrod, Islam in Focus. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. There's a guy, Usama Dakduk, Minister Dakduk, who gets bullied by Hamas Care, follows him around the country. And it's okay for Hamas Care to bully people that they don't like. And suddenly, though, when you call out Hamas Care, they are the victims, but yet they bully people who actually can stand up and speak, you know, Hamas Care's language. And then Sunday, we got Eric from Kafiristan with radio. I'm sorry, with the Real Interfaith Dialogue on Sunday. And Alan, I'll be back on Monday. And a couple of great shows to listen to right here on Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow, Cheap, Simple Facts of Life. He's on Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific time. That would be 6 p.m. Eastern time for those who can't do math. And then Suzette Live, she's on Spreaker, 7 p.m. Central time on Spreaker. That would be 8 p.m. Eastern time. And then Wednesday, if you want to deviate from any type of politics, and you like the self-help, go to Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays on Spreaker at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. You get some great self-help tips. And have you exercised today? I did. I walked 6 miles today, I'll have you know. And I did 2 minutes worth of planks. So I did exercise. And I have my plain yogurt with honey. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, #BrownGPatriotRadio, #MamaMia, no Sharia. Now, I will tell you, I'm not sure, but I believe Twitter has slowed down any of my tweets. And I think they call it shadow banning. And I know Sue from New Mexico has experienced that as well. So the censors at the fascist Twitter are active. They are trying to silence conservatives and silence any voices that they don't believe in. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. Bring it on, boy. Nice to see you. Golf Dogs, HOV Radio. Belly, that's soft underbelly. And we got Chief QM. He's on the Simple Facts of Life. We got the Alaskan Boyd. We had Iggy Mom in the chat room. We had who else do we have in the chat room? And we got Sue from New Mexico, who's on the boards. And then also we had Holger calling in. Oh, moving forward. The movement, sorry we didn't get your call today. And we had the Viking himself who called in. So, oh, and Paul just left. Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next Monday.
All right. Ciao, everybody. You guys be safe out there. You know, wear your 17 masks and be safe, will you? John Kerry needs to go to jail. Holy guacamole.
Sorry about the chickens going off so much.
You know, when that rooster crowed for the third time, I looked outside.
Oh, my God. I tried muting. I was trying to mute, and you didn't hear half of it. I apologize for that.
That's all right. I'm going, oh, my God. Rooster, one, two. Oh, my God, if he crows for the third time, what do we do?
I could see the steam coming out of your ears.
No, I was fine with it. I could barely, you know what? I could barely hear it, and I just felt bad for you because I know you were right there. Oh, that's funny.
I guess with the sunset later, they crow in the morning, they crow in the evening.
Oh. That's what people now are just waking up going, holy crap, is it nighttime or is it daytime?
What the fuck kind of, what is this, Green Acres Radio?
I thought Vito was on at night.
We have a farm report.
Yeah, we're going to have a farm report. Oh, that's funny. I'll tell you, though, what isn't funny is that is John Kerry. And then the more I read about that, the more it's disgusting. I mean, listen, what's your sense of this, especially when it comes to the undermining of Israel? I mean, that's unconscionable, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, how many people know about that little Vietnam nugget from 50 years ago?
Yeah,
zero.
They probably forgot zero. You know, a very small majority of people. It's a minority of people that know about that.
You know what pisses me off is that Trump had the opportunity to do something about it, and he never did.
Yeah. Now,
but right now, he's the fucking what the hell is he? The climate change czar.
Yeah, climate czar.
So he's using that as cover to work on the Iran deal.
There you go. He's using it as cover, and that's just it, Al. I mean, if I'm the state of Israel, I'm sitting there going, you know what? I can't talk to Joe Biden in all confidence. First of all, he's got Susan Rice next to him. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I can't talk to him with any confidence. Because now, not only does it go through Susan Rice, but it goes back to Barack Obama. And, of course, if it goes to Barack Obama, that means that John Kerry is apprised of what's happening. So I have zero confidence in the Biden administration. Zero. Zero. And then you've got the Muslim Brotherhood sitting in the White House again. If I'm the state of Israel, I'm not trusting one iota. This dictatorship.
And you got rusty Jews in Israel that want to bring Netanyahu down and are probably feeding information to Kerry, thinking it's going to weaken Netanyahu.
Oh, great point. Whoa, great point. Absolutely a great point.
So nothing's going to happen to Kerry. In the world of the commies, Kerry's a fucking hero.
Yeah.
His legacy is this Iran deal, which is... I don't know, disgraceful on so many different levels, but that's his legacy, and he's going to make it work come hell or high water. Fuck Israel. Fuck everybody. He'll even break the law to do it because he knows he's Teflon. He's the Teflon Don Lurch.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that something?
But it's scary. I mean, it's so out there in the open for everybody to see. And everybody's asleep at the switch, including Trump. He didn't do shit either. So not that one man can do everything, but he was obviously misled, I would guess, by Bob Barr saying, nah, we can't touch Kerry. You don't want to do that.
You see,
as we later find out, Bob Barr was part of the swamp, for lack of a better word.
And that's where I really do think that President Trump probably regrets putting Barr in there. No, one, okay, you've got the Barr report, and what's his name? Still hasn't released anything. Oh,
Dunham.
Yeah,
he's not going to
do
anything.
Nothing.
Nothing's
right?
coming out of that.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And so, again, what they did was they strung Trump. You've had the powers to be got in there, okay? They betrayed his trust. And they strung him along because they knew he was going to be a one-termer. Come hell or high water, however it was going to happen, Donald Trump was going to be a one-termer, and they could do anything they wanted to do after he was gone, including burying Hunter Biden's laptop. The FBI suddenly lost the hard drive or damaged it. Yep. Then you've got the Dunham report. No casualties are going to come out of that. In the meantime, President Trump, you know, while president, was, you know, optimistic that the swamp was going to go down. And in the meantime, the swamp took President Trump out intentionally.
Yeah. And then you have Liz Cheney and the Republicans not inviting Trump to speak at the big Republican powwow in Orlando.
It was in Orlando?
He went anyway. Yeah. The retreat, the Republican retreat.
Oh, I thought it was down South Florida because I saw Trump was there, so I figured it was South Florida.
Yeah, maybe I was wrong. I thought I read Orlando, but
you could be right.
South Florida or Orlando, it doesn't matter because
Liz
Cheney somehow she's the head of that. of the Republican Party somehow. How she's able to maintain that is a mystery, because her and Trump, she said, no, I never invited Trump, only the last Republican president to come to the Republican retreat. Our party is so messed up.
But it's not, you don't want, and I'm at peace with this, because I realize it's not, the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are one and the same. There are some on the outside, and you know, I'm watching Chris Soldado. I like him. Salado? So he's on Newsmax. And he said something today that we have been talking about for the last 10 years. And every time someone says we need term limits, my response is real simple. I'm saying we got to get rid of the staffers. Forget about term limits, okay? You got to get rid of the staffers, mm-hmm. because the staffers go from one congressman to another. When what's his name down in Orlando, John Congressman
Morgan?
Micah.
Yeah.
When John Micah got defeated, did his staff just leave? Well, I think one guy retired, but his chief of staff in Washington just went to another. He went to another representative. So the staffers mm-hmm. continue. Okay, they go wherever, and hence they're the problem. And Chris Saldeo, gosh, I can't think of the guy's name. He was talking about that today, and he is so right. There's a congresswoman from Texas, a Republican, who Politico is going to do a hit piece on. And it turns out that the hit piece they were interviewing a chief of staff she fired, who she found out was undermining her office. And not following through on constituents. She found out they were overspending. She actually did an audit of her office. She fired the guy. And then now Politico does a story, and they're doing a hit piece on this congresswoman. Yeah. And it turns out it's the staffers that are the problem. Salcido, Chris Salcido. To get a chance on Newsmax, Chris Salcido show today was really good, and he talked about the staffers being the problem. So I think what they should do immediately, and of course it's not going to happen under dictator Joe Biden, but the worst, and with Nancy Pelosi, is to terminate all congressional pensions immediately from today. Boom, terminate it, and then you watch all of these whores leave Washington D.C. And there's so much power that's built up, not just by the congressmen and women, but by their staffers, who just go from one to the other. So when a senator from Utah retires, they go to another senator from Texas. And when Strom Thurmond retires in South Carolina, they go to Tim Scott in South Carolina. And then it's the same swamp regurgitating, and at some point it all of these representatives and senators become corrupt, and because they're all part of that same system. Some step outside the box. Jim Jordan, Dan Webster, you know, they're outside that box right now. Senator from Kentucky, and I'm not talking about McConnell.
They don't want to be on the A list.
Mm-mm.
They're not invited on the A-list. Why should they play the game? They actually care about what they're doing.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. It really is. The system is definitely broken. It's definitely corrupt. And when you got Dictator Joe in there now, who's really ruining our constitutional republic, and these revelations coming out on John Kerry, it's absolutely sickening. That bastard should be in Gitmo. He should be in Gitmo.
All republics historically have had a life expectancy.
Yep.
Rome had a life expectancy. They failed and fell. Every republic has failed at some point.
And it's from within, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing. This time it's using race as the great wedge.
Oh. Oh, my gosh. You ain't kidding. boy, talk about a convenient way to divide a country. Holy crap. Oh, my gosh. They have done a masterful job in dividing America. And the person who commits the crime, the criminal now, okay, if that criminal is shot by a police officer, there's no accountability. You know, it doesn't matter what crime the criminal commits, but if they're shot by a white police officer, the police are bad.
Well, if these defund the police bills start going through, part of that is police officers are no longer immune. They don't have immunity from their actions while on the job. So can you imagine? Oh, imagine, I mean, this cop that shoots that girl with the knife, all of a sudden, he's on trial for murder. Chauvin somehow got he was convicted of murder.
Yeah.
He did not wake up that morning and say, I am going to go murder George Floyd or some other black man or somebody today. I'm going to go murder somebody today.
Yeah,
he wasn't even the first on the call.
And you know, it's funny you say that, Al, because one of the highest charge that was read against him was it was premeditated. It was an act of premeditated murder, and that's not true. That's not true. He didn't walk into a FedEx, drive 35 miles, or drive 4 hours from Phoenix, Arizona to Garland, Texas, 12 hours with the intent to commit terrorism. That's premeditated.
Yeah. And some can say, well, they knew each other because they both worked at the same club at one point. But that never came out in the trial. That was never submitted as evidence that I recall. I don't recall reading about that.
Just don't.
The jury was fearful. The jury was tampered with by Maxine Waters and the President of the United States, which is unheard of. Do the right thing.
Do the right thing. Now, what is the right vote? What is the right vote?
I don't know.
Huh.
And none of them were sequestered. Imagine if I was on that trial and I said, yeah, the cop, yeah, he fucked up, and he should be charged with manslaughter or something, but definitely not murder one. And he didn't intend for this to happen. He just screwed up. There was for whatever reason, there was a crowd forming. It made him nervous, as it should, because that thing could explode at any second. But I have a friend who's a retired cop, and he said he kind of screwed up. He told me he was watching a mutual friend, actually, and he was looking at the video, and he said, Al, the way Chauvin appeared in that video, he didn't know where he was at. He just looked lost. He said, I don't know what was going on with him, but he wasn't all there.
And he got that from his eyes, the way he was looking around, right? He kept looking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly that. And I watched the video. I didn't see it through his lens, obviously, as a retired cop or past cop. I'm like, oh, yeah. So maybe, I don't know.
He was definitely used as a punching bag, and it's just unbelievable, man.
And I mean, what's the punishment for this cop who fired her service weapon instead of her taser? That was just an honest to God mistake,
right?
But what prompted it was the actions of the perp.
Again,
so, I don't know. If she fired the taser, would it have disabled him enough? Nobody knows.
Right.
But still, I mean, she has to be culpable at some point for making she's a professional. It's like a doctor who makes a mistake in the operating room and cuts off the wrong leg. They're going to get sued.
Right.
So there's a level of professionalism with a law enforcement officer. So she's got to be culpable for making a mistake, but what is the proper punishment? I don't know. These are answer. These are questions I don't have the answer for because I don't know.
I personally don't think that she should be held for manslaughter or murder. I think it was a situation where it was you know, the purpose culpable as she is. All he had to do, you know, he wants to be a man. And this is what, you know, he had no problem going on Facebook and be a tough guy. Well, part of that tough guy is accepting the consequences for your actions. It doesn't mean beating a police officer. It doesn't mean battering a police officer. It doesn't mean not heeding what a police officer request is. And, you know, this is where you said it earlier. This is the Communist Manifesto. It is defiance. It is to reject authority, reject law enforcement. And the end result, it sends a message to resist, and hence we have these issues that are coming up, and they could all be avoided if even the LaJuan James told his people, okay, because this is what we have in identity politics. You tell your people, don't resist. You know, look, Colonel John, what he tells his kids and himself if I'm pulled over by a police officer, and he has been pulled over, here's a guy who's a colonel who has the utmost respect for law enforcement. They don't know that until they pull him over, okay? And then he's treated with respect because he gives the respect back to the police. Doesn't say, doesn't resist, doesn't call them, you know, F this, F that. He understands their plight, but he also understands the consequences. But he's not going to commit a crime. And he said it. You know what? I comply with the police officer. It's yes, sir, no, sir. I keep my hands exactly where they can see them. That's not difficult. But yet the message is totally different to these thugs who want to be wannabes. And, you know, they think they're tough guys until, you know, there's consequences for their actions. And then we have to find excuses like the officer's a racist. That's crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'd do it one step further. I roll down my window. I take the keys out of the ignition, put them on the dash, put my hands at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, and then wait. Don't move. Because I can imagine what it's like if I'm the cop on the call going to a strange situation at night and you don't know anything. Yeah, you can run the plate, but you don't know. You don't know if the car is stolen. You don't know anything. Any million things could happen. There could be somebody out of sight in the back seat with a shotgun. You don't know. God, being a cop would be a tough. You got to be psychologist. You got to be enforcer. You got to be Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Empathy. I could not do it. I don't think I have the temperament for it.
You know, and
but all it takes is a LeBron. Yeah, I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
What?
No. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh no. No, go on.
No, I was going to say that you on that thread where I think officers are actually relieved when they encounter somebody who shows them respect. And, you know, I mean, I've now twice now, and I've treated the officer with absolute respect. I was wrong on one of them. I know that. I was speeding. Mm-hmm. I knew that. You know, I was trying to get to the airport, and I was speeding. I wasn't even paying attention, but I knew I was speeding. And the cop pulled me over, and you know, I accepted the punishment, and I was nice to the cop. I told him I didn't realize I knew what the speed limit was in that area. You know how fast you were going? I honestly did not know. There was a road closed. I had to make a U-turn, and I just lost all control. And you know what? To her credit, she knew that the road was closed, and the very road that I was on, And in the end, you know what she did? She left me out of the ticket. She told me to slow down, to be more aware of my surroundings, and if I ever pull you over again, I'm giving you a ticket. And I thanked her. I mean, I did, you know what? Her job, I told her, I said, your job's hard enough. You don't have to do this. And she said, you know what? You were cordial to me. You didn't give me any back talk. You even admitted that you knew what the speed limit was. You told me what it was. I said I was probably doing about 50 in a 45, and I was doing 55. So, I could have been a dick. but I wasn't.
So it goes.
I know. All right. So next
All
week
right,
we'll be back.
I'm gonna go. Yeah, same old shit, different story.
Hey, have some chicken. They're ready to go.
Yeah. Oh, God. Hopefully John Kerry will be under indictment by next week.
Boy, that bastard certainly does need to be under indictment. What a God, what a pig. All right, man. Have a good evening.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Music Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.